Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 2 Peter once again. And yes, we are beginning chapter 3. We're excited about it. And chapter 3 is the final chapter of this epistle. And but I hope you have enjoyed going through these books of the Bible verse by verse and really studying them out. You know, I feel like Sunday night is a good time to study out the Word of God. As we grow in Christ, we ought to learn more about these things, right? And so to go through that and one of the things that I want you to get most out of this is I want you to see by the use of Scripture how Scripture works together. Because the Bible is the best commentary in the Bible. I know you've heard preachers say that, but I want to show you that. I want to show you how the Bible comments on the Bible. And that it all works together because guess what? There is no other book like this book. There isn't. Not in our whole world is there another book like this. It is a very unique book because it is the Word of God written by the, if you will, the pen of men. But it is complete. It works together. It does not contradict. It supports. It's perfect. It's God's Word. And we love the Word of God. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we'll read the first 7 verses tonight of chapter 3. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Here in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says this. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Turn back over to chapter 1 of this same book. And Peter says back here in the previous, the first chapter, the previous chapters, he says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. We talked about that already. So go back to chapter 3. He says it again. He says this second epistle. He said, ladies and gentlemen, Christians, by the way, this is where he calls this his second epistle. At the beginning, in verse 1, he just says, this is Simon Peter, and he says, I'm writing to those that have obtained like precious faith. But here in this third chapter, as he's closing it out, he says that this is the second letter I've written unto you. So that gives us the cause to think that this is to the same group of people, those strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, that is mentioned in 1 Peter. He says this is the second epistle. So he said I'm doing this to remind you of some things. I'm doing this to stir you up so you don't forget things. Because guess what? We are human beings. And what are we good at? Forgetting. Did you forget you were good at forgetting? Okay. Yes. We are. How many of you are bad at this? Okay. How many of you are elephants? Wait, I have an elephant. Where's Willa? Willa's my elephant. She remembers everything. Most of us are not elephants, right? Most of us forget things. Okay, I wasn't calling anybody fat or anything like that. Okay, Not that kind. I mean, the elephants, they're supposed to, they don't ever forget anything, right? Isn't that the true about animal kingdom people? Come on. All right. Now, but we often forget, okay? I mean, think about it. In boot camp, they had to stencil our names on everything, right? The only reason I could think of that was, no, it was for laundry purposes, but so we wouldn't forget who we were, okay? No, I need that in my life. But we're as people, we're forgetful, aren't we? I mean, just one bad time happens in your life, and what do you think? You forget all the good things God ever did for you. This is how we are. We're built that way. So Peter says, hey, I'm trying to stir you up. I want to keep you in remembrance of things. So he uses this once again. First of all, in chapter 1, he used it to stir them up about the Word of God. And to remember that the Word of God is something that will last forever. And it's not going to go away. It's there for us to remember. Here's the thing that I love about things too. Ethan was sharing with me something about some kind of a Bible quiz that Brother Losey shared with him. And I thought to myself, they're asking very specific questions here. Like exact verses in the Bible. You know, which verse of the Bible mentions this? Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to remember? Okay, if you said which book of the Bible mentions, I mean, that's a much easier target to hit. But I mean, come on. I mean, that's why I have the thing. So I can go look it up. All right, I don't need to memorize the entire scriptures. I'm glad I have a book, okay? Or at least the phone app where I can just type in the word and whoop, it goes right there. And so that's even better. But, I mean, come on. No, so Peter said, look, I'm writing this to stir you up because we're forgetful. We forget things or we lose sight of things. Or, my favorite, I get distracted. All right? I'm a very distractible person. All right? That was one of my worst traits as a teacher. Because the kids knew that I liked to get distracted. They did. And so we would be studying something, especially if it was something they didn't like geometry. All right? And they would on purpose say something about anything else. No, we never talked about that. That's not distracting to me. Or actually they would bring up a rule that English breaks, and that's distracting to me because I love to harp on that. Brother York, my good friend over at Lakeland, he says it best, squirrel. I mean, okay, I'm like the bloodhound that looks for a squirrel. I mean, that I get distracted, okay? But Peter says, Christians, you can't get distracted. You can't fall asleep. He uses that word here. We're going to talk about that in just a moment in verse 4. But he says you can't fall asleep. You can't get distracted. You can't forget. I'm here to stir you up. And by the way, he didn't say this again because he forgot that he said it before. He said it again because it's important. He says, I want to make sure, and I love the word in verse 2, that you're mindful. Folks, we need to be mindful. What gets us in trouble? Not being mindful. We let things slip. We let things slide. We get distracted or we compromise because we're not mindful. You understand that in our lives, if we're short-sighted, we're always going to miss the mark. We've got to look beyond some things. How many of you have made a decision short-sightedly? Yeah, you miss the mark, don't you? Because you don't consider what's beyond. You know, in firearms classes, safety classes, they teach you to know what's beyond. Because you don't know what's going to happen. And also they teach you to know the range of your weapon so that you can safely shoot. Because safety is the key, right? We want to be safe. Safe is good. And so you understand, you can't just think. And by the way, that's why so many kids and teenagers fail. Because they're not able to process what's beyond the now. And we've got to process what's beyond the now. We've got to think about it. We've got to be mindful of the things that are spoken by the prophets, the things that were spoken by the apostles, and of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to be mindful of the things that this book holds. How many times do we make decisions in life without consulting the Bible? We just go by what we go by our gut feeling about it, right? Well, what if you're having a bad day and you ate some extra pepperoni or something and your gut's in turmoil, you know? Or you had, you know, raw onions and fried bologna and it just, I thought that was funny. No, you can't go by your gut. Go by the book. We got to be mindful of these things. And listen, these things are coming to pass. Great. Now, very quickly, let's get into this because we've got to get done tonight. Now, 2 Peter is a really great book for Christians. And the first chapter talks about spiritual maturity, growing in grace. God wants us to become mature Christians. Brother Sebastian and Miss Ingrid, they have a new little baby back there, and little Joseph. And I'm going to guess that as new young parents, they want that cute little guy to grow up to be a man. Yeah. Because they're in their right mind. They don't want him to grow up to be a woman. Or a cat. Or whatever. Okay? Little boys grow up to become men. Thank you very much. There. Squash that bug. Okay. They don't want him when he's 20 years old to still be that size. No. And still be drinking milk. No. No, by 20, he's supposed to be 6'4", 190 pounds, eating steak. Yeah. All right? Because, look, he was that size once, 19 years ago. And now he's eating me out of house and home, and I'm glad to get him out of my house and home. Because he costs a lot. No, he's not supposed to stay that small. He's supposed to mature. He's supposed to grow. You know, we've got that we need spiritual maturity. The second chapter, he warns about false teachers and false teaching and false prophets. Folks, we need to be warned. We need to know what to look for. We need to see the warning signs. And listen, they're all over the place. Brother Minter and I were just talking before church about some of the warning signs of people. And listen, pride is a big warning sign for false teachers. You know who false teachers love? Themselves. Oh, they love themselves. They think they are the greatest teachers ever. And if you don't give them a Sunday school class, you are doing a disservice to mankind in the local church. You know what I want? I don't want that kind of teacher. I don't. Anyways, false teachers. And then this third one, he's trying to remind us of the certainty of the return of Christ. Folks, he is coming again. And he's coming again soon. Look at what Peter says. He says, we need to be mindful of these things. And he's stirring us up in remembrance. Verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 3. Knowing this first. He said, I'm going to stir you up. I want you to be mindful of these words. The words of the prophets. The words and the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember what he gave him as a great commission, right? To go and to preach the gospel to every creature. To go and to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Those were his words, right? And he said, I'll give you power through the Holy Spirit of God. And boy, did they receive the power? Yes. And did they go and preach and teach Christ? Yes. And they went everywhere. And they were scattered abroad and they're doing the work. And by the way, that work is still being accomplished today through the local church. And it should be. But he says this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. That's a great word, scoffers. You know what? You can call them naysayers. You can call them scoffers. You can call them hot air balloons. I don't care what you call them. But what they try to do is they try to discourage. And they try to stir up distrust by saying, see, see, nothing's happening. Oh, it's always been this way. Oh, it's been how many thousand years? Oh, he's not coming back. He hasn't come back yet. Why would it be tomorrow? You know, that's a scoffer. And they just keep slinging mud and they keep slinging lies and that's what they do. And they're here. They're always walking after their own lusts. That's what these scoffers do. I'm just saying, it's here, folks. Look around. Just listen to the news. Oh, by the way, just listen to some of the political ads. Yeah, it's terrible. I unfortunately listened to a couple of them this afternoon. Pure lies. Pure lies. And just that's what scoffers do. They lie. And they say, look, nothing's happened, so why would it happen? And they call into question the Word of God, the things that the prophets spoke of, because guess what prophets do? Or did? Prophesy. They said, this is going to happen. And they say, see, it hasn't happened. Look, why would you trust that? They work after their own lusts, and they say this, look at verse 4. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. By the way, is that true? No, no. The prophets told us, the apostles tell us, Jesus told us that things are going to wax worse and worse. Let me ask you a question. Is mankind as a whole getting better? No. Please don't swallow that lie. Okay, don't swallow that lie. Humanistic thinking and human beings will tell you we're getting better. No, we're not getting better. We're getting worse. And things are waxing worse and worse, right? Because see, out of one side of their head, they're saying we're getting better. And then on the other side of their head, oh, global warming, we're getting worse. Yes, I did that on purpose, okay? Worser. We're getting worser. I love butchering the English language. It's so much fun. Now, he says this is happening. He says, for they willingly are ignorant of. Oh, the earth is flat. Right? Global warming. All this stuff. Lies. Just lies. They're consciously trying to be ignorant of the Word of God. Because guess what? If the Word of God is true, they're in big trouble. They can't acknowledge the Word of God. So they won't acknowledge the Word. And folks, if they even acknowledge the Bible at all, their balloon is burst. That's actually the proper use of that word. It's not busted or anything. It burst, right? Yay, English. Okay, I love it. Now, this is where we're warned to know some things. He says, Christians, I want you to remember. Christians, I want you to be mindful. Christians, I want you to know. To know that you know that you know something is the way it is. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive. Folks, should we perceive some things? Yeah, we need to have our eyes open. We need to be able to see things, perceive. The words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Go back to our text. These scoffers are fools. They're fools. And guess what? Not only are they fools, they're willingly fools. They're willingly ignorant of these things. You understand that they want to be fools. You say, are you serious? Pastor, who in their right mind would ever want to be a fool? These people. These people do. And they're willingly ignorant of these things. They're scoffers. And we're supposed to avoid them. We're supposed to look out for them. We're supposed to stand up to them, if you will, and say, no, that's not true. In Deuteronomy 32, Moses writes and says, Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Give me that old time religion. Right? It was good for our fathers. It was good for our mothers. Folks, listen to me. Give me that old Bible. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I don't want to be ignorant. I don't want to be a fool. I mean, how many of you actually like being called a fool? Anybody like that? I don't think so. Okay? Now, I've called people fools before because they were. I'm just one of those guys that calls it like he sees it. Sorry. You probably didn't know that about me, did you? Yeah, I know. But hey, we're supposed to realize that they're willingly ignorant. They're doing these things, walking after their own lusts. They've got tunnel vision, folks. They only see one thing, what they can get out of it. Can I just tell you something today? I'm concerned for our country because there's a bunch of people that are in charge that all they care about is what they can get out of it. They're short-sighted. They've got tunnel vision. And they're leaving a disaster in their wake. That's what these people do. These scoffers, they're out there. They're trying to get Christians to cow down to them. And they're, because they're trying to mock them and make fun of them and say, you're a bunch of whatever, right? You're crazy. They say you're the ones that are nuts. You belong in an insane asylum. By the way, if things keep going the way it is, that's what they're going to try to do to us. They're going to try to lock us all up and put us all away because we're the crazy ones. They're calling evil good and good evil in these last days. I always say to people, you can't reason with unreasonable people. And these scoffers, they're unreasonable people. They're in our world today. They're all about. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this to you tonight and think about this, because this is what Peter wanted the church to understand. With the wonderful, liberating truth of the Word of God, Christianity should be overflowing this planet. Come on, who wants to disagree with me? No. It should be, shouldn't it? And we should understand that this is the glorious gospel. It's the good news. Who wouldn't want this? But folks, our kinds of churches are 1% of 1% of the viewpoint of the world. Why so small? Because of scoffers. Scoffers are winning. Hey, in our country, the alphabet crowd, they're getting their way. They're honestly less of a population than we are, Christians. You want to know why they're getting the way? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Start squeaking. I mean it. Christians need to start squeaking. We need to squeak louder. Come on now. Now, in my house, we have a couple of squeaky doors. Don't ever come and fix them because my wife wants them that way. All right? Because she wants to hear when the kids open the door and go outside. Okay, so some of you mothers just got a new idea. Okay, we don't have one of those little electronic buzzers because those require batteries and you got to change those. So we just have a squeaky door. Oh, somebody went outside. Go see who it is. You know, that's her thing. But anyways, but if something's squeaking, it needs to be lubricated, right? It needs some attention. Well, they're speaking up. So guess what they're getting? Attention. Well, it's time for the church to speak up. We're greater in number. Let's squeak. Let's get some grease. Let's make some changes. Let's make some effect in this world. We need to wake up. You understand that God wants us to wake up and to do what He wants us to do. A lot of times Christians, because of our comfort in Christ, we become complacent. Folks, we can't be complacent. Yes, life, new life in Christ is wonderful, but it doesn't give you an excuse to take a vacation. We need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. And we need to stay on it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Don't ever doubt Jesus Christ. He is coming again. And listen, if you're on your deathbed, And being called to the portals of heaven, listen, don't say, well, I guess it's not true. Because He didn't promise to come in your lifetime. He just promised to come. We don't know when it's going to be. But He promised it. David said Asaph said in Psalm 77, he said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. I sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with the years. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. That first part there, in those first several verses, we get there sometimes, don't we? God, where are you? God, have you forgotten? God, you're the gracious God. You're the God of mercy. Where are you, God? Where's my grace? Where's my mercy? We get down, don't we? We get depressed. We get under the cloud of the circumstances. But I love what Asaph said. But I will remember. I will remember.
Jesus is coming, though we know not when. Yes, He is coming. Jesus is coming again.
He's coming again, folks. We need to remember that. We need to be reminded of that. We need to stir up our minds. We need to be mindful of these things, knowing that there's going to be scoffers saying, no, he's not coming. No, things are like they've always been since the creation of the world. By the way, they haven't been. We need to remember our God. Remember his wonders. Remember his promises. Remember the word of God. Go to Matthew 24. We're going to shut this down real quick here. Yes, look at your clocks. Check the time. New record. We still have the Lord's Supper to conduct, so we got to get done early. I'm still a leopard with same spots. Old dog, no new tricks. All right, Matthew 24. Look at verse 36. But that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. By the way, the Bible tells us about these perilous times, that all these things are going to wax worse and worse. The Bible tells us about the days of Noah. Folks, we're there. We should be seeing the times around us. We should be seeing the signs around us. We should understand that the prophecies have been fulfilled, that the coming of Christ is coming. It's impending. It's upon us. And we've got to be watchful. We've got to be ready. Go to just a few chapters over, Mark chapter 13. Jesus warned of these things. He wants us to be ready. He doesn't want us to miss it. Look at verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed and watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And Christians, if anything, we need not to be sleeping right now. We need to be about the work while it is day, right? For the night cometh when no man can work. We've got to be ready. He says, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. We need to understand that Peter is trying to stir up. He's trying to help them to remember. He's trying to help them to be mindful, knowing that there'll be scoffers out there trying to get them to forget. Scoffers out there trying to get them to be careless. Scoffers out there trying to get them to fall asleep so that they're not ready. You know what? Don't worry about it. You got at least 20, 30 years. Hey, by the way, if things do start to turn around in this country, you know that what that might cause some Christians to do? Go back to sleep. I'm not for this, by the way. I'm for peace, and I'm for our country going in the right direction. But listen to me. I'm just so afraid that because our country's not waking up like it should, that we're going to have to experience some more difficulty. Because God wants us to wake up. And God forbid that that happen, but I'm just... Boy, I sure hope we don't get what we deserve. I'm counting on God's grace and mercy. Amen? But listen to me. We've got to realize that these things are here. That's why in verse 3, Peter is so careful to say, before I tell you about the rest of this, before I get around to reminding you, before I get around to making you mindful of these things, I want you to know this first. The scoffers are here. The scoffers are here. Can I tell you something today, folks? Not only were they there in Peter's day, but they're still here today. And they're still scoffing away. And they're trying to make you not be as much of a believer as you should be. Folks, we've got to do all that we can to stand. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. We've got to stir up our minds and remember and be mindful of the words of the Word of God. These promises are true. These prophecies are true. These things are right and true. They are. And we've got to be mindful of.